Welcome, everyone. On behalf of National Law Foundation, I'm Steve Siegel. Our topic today is key issues for decedents' estates, final 1040 and post-mortem elections and decisions. So as you can see, we have a lot to talk about. One of the things I've noticed in practice over the years is that many people diligently attempt to do good estate planning, some not so much. But even the ones who diligently do planning, and certainly those who don't, things sometimes slip through the cracks, don't get done appropriately. The good news is there are a lot of post-mortem things we can do. Call it a post-mortem toolkit, where we can look at where the person has left off at the end of life and try to figure out how to address some of the things that didn't get done through estate planning, but that we can fix it through post-mortem planning. So I'll talk a lot about that in this discussion in terms of some of the things that can be done, even if we found our client having done a less than perfect estate plan. So let's begin first things first. The client passes away. The client's income tax return for the year of death is due the next year. So whether you died in January of 24 or December of 24, your tax return is due April 15th of 25. It's a good idea, and it's often not done promptly, but it's a good idea to get a federal ID number for the estate as soon as possible. Form SS-4 is the form we use for that. You can do this on paper and mail it to the IRS. But the recommendation is do it online. You get your ID number as soon as you complete your application. The person who applies for the EIN has to be the appropriate person. So a person who is named executor, trustee, surviving spouse in many cases is the person who's authorized to apply. A cautionary note, sometimes if someone Googles federal ID number, they'll get a site. They'll fill out a form, an application, and then before they get the number, the words will come up saying, we can get you an ID number right away. Just send us $250 and it's yours. You don't have to do that. The IRS issues these free. So make sure you're on the IRS.gov site when you get the SS-4. Another important point about the SS-4, it asks you for the end of your tax year. We often put December because, frankly, we're not sure yet what's going to happen. Most taxpayers use calendar year, but you don't have to, as we'll talk about later when you're dealing with an estate. So the question often comes to me, well, can I choose a fiscal year for the estate when I put December on my SS-4? And the answer is absolutely yes, because the SS-4 is not a tax election form. You're getting an ID number. When you file your federal income tax return, your fiduciary return, Form 1041, that's when you choose your reporting year. So don't be concerned that what was placed on the SS-4 is a problem. Another form you might want to file is Form 56. The Form 56 gives the IRS notice that someone is acting as the fiduciary, executor, personal rep, administrator, trustee, however the person's been appointed. And that's helpful in cases where the decedent didn't have a surviving spouse living at the same address. And the concern is that the IRS is authorized to send notices to the last known address of a taxpayer. So maybe the taxpayer passes, no one files a notice, the child, the executor, whomever, steps up and is handling things for the decedent, but doesn't bother to give the IRS the child's or other trustee's name and address. Notices could come to the old address. Maybe they don't get picked up. Maybe they get returned after a while. Maybe mail is sitting under the front door or in a mailbox someplace. And maybe valuable rights expire. You've got certain deadlines to file notices in response to IRS notice. So it's a good idea to file Form 56 just so you are on record as telling the IRS, I'm now in the person's life. I am their fiduciary. Send everything to me.